it's interesting that Francis was mentioning the sacrifice or the sin offering, which we are. It's almost more than you can take in, that we, the Christ within us, is that sin offering. However, we see that all through our lives, we lay down our wants and desires for something or someone else's, and that's a sacrifice. As long as we become willing in that, that's clean and acceptable. But the unwilling sacrifice, like if we sacrifice and then blow a trumpet, that is not acceptable, because that comes from the ego. Paul says, over in Romans, I believe it's 12, present your body a life-giving sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Yes, Paul says, I beseech you, don't you love his language? I'm pleading with you, everything in you, to see who you really are. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a life-giving sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, to me, that takes a process. I don't think we just can present something. It has to be dealt with inside of us. We have to understand where we are, where we're coming from. And the biggest thing to me is where we're going. In this great Aquarian age, we see intellect and technology and new discoveries daily, or more than daily. I'd say John could tell us of things that are coming up new all the time in the world that he deals in. And we ladies see it in recipes and blah, blah, and whatever we see it in. And I'm not limiting us to food, but in each of our lives, we see it in everywhere. And I'm all for that. If it's taking us into a relationship, if it's building a unity in mankind, if it's not coming just from the ego. And I'm saying that because so many things are thrown out there that I feel like we need to find out where this is originating because of where it's taken us. And I have to go back to the altar of incense. And in order to do that, you have to back way up. But at the altar of incense, there was a fumigation process. And they burned certain prescribed amounts of things up on this altar for sweet-smelling savor, not just to the Lord, but to everyone. If you've ever been to a Catholic funeral, they burn incense all around that body. I mean, to me, they did things. I'm going, good grief. But it reminded me of an exorcism, because they have those big, huge censers, and they shake them all over the casket, you know, making sure that the body is fumigated. It's what they call holy smoke. But anyway, I was impressed with that, But I like to take that to the highest order in us. If we go through all of this process, and what I say, or what the person is teaching, or what has the outcome is, and all of a sudden we smell this strange fragrance. It just don't lay so good in us. We eat something and get a little upset tummy. Then I'm knowing that that's our way of seeing that this is not from the right source. Nor is it keeping me in that unified place. So I'll use the old adage, maybe we need to go back and lick that calf over again and again. Maybe we need to step back and see what is really, really going on with us. We have a song we sing, there's one thing greater than faith, and that is purpose. What was Father's purpose? So we need to keep purpose in front of each one of us all the time, remembering who we are and what we're sent here for. God would have us to plow a straight furrow. Let's look at that word purpose a minute over in 1 John. I don't want to read all this, but I'm going to skip around 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world order knoweth us not, because it knew him not. People don't understand. They come into your midst, and if they haven't had this teaching before, they don't know where we're coming from or what we're talking about. And we have to give them room, okay? You have to give people time to learn to flow. So we look for a flow. Is there a flow created here? I mean, we're a mighty river. So there, if we're a river, let's flow in the river here. I mean, just keep going down the river. And the third verse is so beautiful in where I'm really going. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself. That means we have everything to say about it. Mm-hmm. We can say yes or no, even as he is pure. So I need to look at everything that comes into my path and say, okay, what is the purpose of this in my path today that I don't understand? What is this about? So let's read more. So I'm going to skip because it gets not what I want to say. Little children, he says in the 7th verse, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committed sin is of the adversary, for the adversary sinneth from the beginning. Okay, we'll go back and talk about that, I hope. For this purpose, remember the word I used? Purpose means predispositioned. Don't you like that? I thought, I can eat that. It's big cheese. And I think it's going to be like jerky. I'm going to get to really chew on that one. Because according to the Greek and Hebrew, It means predisposition. I thought, okay. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. He actually walked upon the earth. Well, there are teachings all over the place that don't even believe in the Son of God. How do we get there without this great Savior that actually came in a body, lived just like we do, and walked the earth? All the rest of those doodads did that. Buddha and Krishna and Yaya, whatever their names are. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might erase. The word destroy means just begin to take an eraser to something. It's not destroyed instantly. He doesn't send us here with magic, saying you can just speak it and it's done this second. That he might erase the works of the devil. So the word destroy means erase. Start dealing with that thing. If you erase something, you take the eraser and you rub it this way and you rub it that way and you rub it this way and you rub it that way. Have you ever been erased? Well, God's erased me, many things in me. Back and forth to get me to see that's done in me now, that part. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. We all see that in ourselves, those parts. Some things are just not finished yet. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the adversary. It calls it the devil, but you and I know how we feel about the devil. I don't want to have to teach on that. Whoever doeth not righteousness is just not of God. For the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. They shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. And if you are righteous, you have fruit all time. 12 months of the year, 12 manner of fruit on your fruit tree. That means any season, God help us, people can come and eat. And I'm going, well, I think maybe I might have a kumquat today. About the best I can do for you. If I can just find that or a little berry of some sort. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And this goes back, way back. Not like Cain. Remember Cain and Abel, it's reported they were twins. And that doesn't surprise me at all. Twins in the womb, that's a repetitive thing in the scripture. Rebecca talked about Jacob and Esau. Why? She said, God, why is this struggle going on inside of me? Because the ego, Esau, the man that grew his own covering, he was hairy, remember? And Jacob was smooth. He's pretty slick. He was called the deceiver at the beginning, but God changed him. Remember, he went through a great change. And that's what it's about. Just backing off and really looking at the whole picture. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew, why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil. He was jealous, that old green-eyed monster thing. and his brothers with righteous. That's the only reason, and that's all within. That's not somewhere out there. This is the presence bread that we eat constantly. Saying, Father, okay, what is this really about? And he'll say, it's not about you. It's just not about you. He tells me this sometimes. I don't like it when he does it, but it's not about me. Okay. Because his own works were evil and his brothers righteous. Okay. The scripture says, the bride knows she's a bride. Over in the Revelation, she prepares herself. She takes care of this, just as I read in the other little scripture that we brought up. We make ourselves in a place of preparation. Just because we miss something doesn't mean we're not the bride. But it does mean that we go through a correction. And that's good. Correction is good. Okay. How do we do this thing? How do we do it? Well, Romans 10. If you want to turn there. Just to show you. I think mankind needs a wake-up call. This is supposedly the year of release from some things that man's been carrying. And especially those in the body of Christ are to come into a joy and removing some burdens with the voice of authority. But he can't trust us with a voice of authority until we know to lean on our source and only hear his voice. How he's saying it. There cannot be one smidgen of our personality in it. Our feelings, so to speak. It has to be a flow through a body of believers. Okay. Paul says in Romans 10:1, listen to this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might get saved. Now this is 2,000 or 3,000 years down the road from when Israel was made a nation under God. So that tells me we're looking at that today. That's how I feel. When I hear people calling everything in here a myth, I'm going, wait a minute. We need to back this up to the kingdom of way back. We need to go back and see where we got off this beaten path at, this gold road that I've been walking on. I'm not hearing the same thing. So I'm thinking just like Paul. Israel needs to get saved. How do you do this? You repent and do your first works over. Just repent and set your conversation aright. We can get in a quiet place, every one of us, and say, Father, something is wrong. Okay, you're faithful to show me where I stepped off of this path. So show me. And he does this. It's not hard. It's not like he's standing there with that golden angel that Don Cooley talked about with a 300-pound gold baseball bat ready to beat your brains out. That's not how Father works. He says, it's cool. Get through it. Just walk through it. And you'll be okay. Always. He's faithful in justice to forgive. He doesn't do like those do in the Philippines that hold that mock crucifixion. I mean, that is a, if you haven't watched that, you need to watch it on a documentary. They go through those streets with the cat of nine tails, the criminals, and they beat their backs bloody, doing penance for the Roman Catholic Church. Give me a break. That Father never required that. He's never wanted that. But they do this, and then they're tied to a cross. It, that hurts me to know that they see in that light. And I've been there, sort of. I didn't do that kind of penance, but, you know, still now, when we miss it, we start beating on ourselves. You know, I say to myself, have you suffered enough yet? Is it bad enough? Have you done enough penance? I mean, folks, it's not hard. That's not what it's about. Okay. And the reason I'm sharing this is people around here have dreams, and I'm so glad. Thank you, Father. We need dreams that are spiritual to help guide us. If we can't hear face to face, and sometimes we can't hear face to face, it's good to have a dream. If there's a prophet among you, I'll speak to him in dreams and visions. But not so with my servant Moses. I talk to him face to face. There's no veil between you and this holy thing that you are. Of course not. But I'll take the second order. I can't do the first. So, she had a dream. I can't remember her dream, but she had a dream that was significant about where the body of Christ is going and her life in particular. And if she chooses, do you want to share that dream you had?
A little boy, about 4 or 5 years old, stood in front of me, and he said, I am God. And I knew that he meant I had come from God, as if he were a messenger.
The Holy Seed in his youth.
And then he gestured towards his left side, and he indicated that he was transferring something from his left side to my left side. But I was to know that it had come from God.
Yes. Okay. My right hand, my holy arm, gets me the victory. My left arm is my works in my daily life. So he's transferring that righteous authority from his right hand into our works. See how beautiful that is? And then I thought, man, this is beautiful. I sent it to Rokas. And he sent something back, said, this is very interesting. What do you think? And I want to go, trying to make me think. I said, okay, got you, brother. Francis had a dream, and I'm going to let her tell it. About 2 days after your dream.
I know in big vehicle, either a van, wife, or truck driver. And we had, my sense was that we had taken some people somewhere and she was going to take me home, and we were on a hill, something like Louisiana, right beside my house, and it goes, it's a steep hill, but it goes up and levels off and then drops and goes up and it has a couple of pretty good curves in it. So it's a curvy, irregular, hard road down.
It's paved.
It's paved.
And it runs all the way across our city, completely from one end to the other of our city, up and down. So that's very significant. Louisiana.
Louisiana now. I'm not talking about anymore.
I know what you're talking about.
Anyway.
Goes straight to the top of, and meets it. West Allen.
So it is.
Into the turnpike.
Anyway, you know, she was going to take me home, and I just kind of sat there waiting for her to make a U-turn at the top of the hill. Well, she didn't. She started backing down that hill, lickety split. She was driving as fast backwards. She was forward, had tremendous control. Just not a hitch. She didn't slam on the brake. She didn't struggle. She didn't move the wheel. It was like she was driving straight forward. We came to one of the level places. You want to say something?
Yes. Because that speaks of the Christ. He knows how to get there. He can back it up or take it far. He can go left and right. That leadership that is within us, if you knew how I drove, you'd laugh because there ain't no way I could back it up. I have a trouble backing up in the natural, so it's not natural. Okay.
You know, we came to one of the fast spots and stopped for something. I thought, why don't you go turn around here? Because I was really afraid. You know, I was just a little afraid she was going to fail. But she didn't, and just started on down the hill. But it would just, I'll just tell it because it was in the dream. She had a hand on her. Her left hand on the wheel, and she did this, and you could see, like you would backing, but we're talking about Connie, and just like she said, her wheel driving, I couldn't back up there. Anyway, the second part of the hill was even steeper, and she backed down that hill with a skill and a perfection that astounded me. So that's kind of leadership we got.
Back them on down, and just to say this, to tell you how spiritual the dream is, I would never look this way to back up. I would use my mirror and my head to look this way. Mm-hmm. So I was looking right. That's Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
That's Jesus. That's all that is. So he's saying, back this thing up. All the way to the city of Adam. Hadn't you been preaching about that? Mm-hmm. Back this thing up and see where you've been and where you're going. And there's going to be so much to discover as we're willing to back up a little bit. All right, Joshua 3:16.
Well, that dream that I had, you had said that represented you for the spirit.
Yes.
Not the soul.
The boy. The boy represented spirit.
Right.
Which is you, the youth, and of course your righteousness. I may have it wrong. I hope I don't. I'm having trouble finding Josh. No, it's right. It's 3:16. This is, remember we talked about the priest with the ark stepping into the Jordan. 16th verse says that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon the heap very far from the city of Adam. So it backed up is what it's telling us. We all know there wasn't a city of Adam, but there was a government of Adam. Adam. He established his own government, as you know, in his state. I don't know what all that dude went through, but we're going to talk about it, look at it.
Okay. I thought it was interesting that this is Joshua 3:16. You remember when I said this before, I thought of John 3:16, for God so loved the Joshua.
Goes together, doesn't it?
For God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son. And that's this.
Absolutely.
Backing up all the way to the city of Adam, she killed to present a covering of healing to all those all the way back.
Absolutely.
And that's what he did when he died on the cross. He went down into hell and he rescued, he covered all of that sin all the way back to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's beautiful. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Well, I absolutely agree with that, Karen. If you think of water as a symbol of life, Father rolled through Joshua the water of life all the way back to Adam exposing life.
Yes.
Because that water uncovered everything that was... that it was covering.
Yes.
When it rolled back, that means it had to go back. And the picture that I take from that is that God exposed it all and took it back to Adam, mm-hmm. and it brought life.
Wow.
It's everything in Ezekiel, when the water is issued out of the throne,
mm-hmm.
on the right side, underneath the door, on the threshold,
mm-hmm.
they go down. Ezekiel, remember, he stood and he measured 1,000 from the angle of the knees. The walls come up until he was able to stand in the water, and that water healed all the way down and dumped into Jordan River, dumping into the Dead Sea. You know all of that deadness within that.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. It's awesome. And it's beautiful too. I love it. I tell you, the scripture says the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. They shall grow like that cedar in Lebanon. So we can look for righteousness to sit on the throne. Isn't that wonderful? This year, we're looking for changes, not for our little crew, not just for Connie's life, mankind, politics, everything, even if it's slow, I don't care. Unveil the righteousness, because it's time for that righteousness to be established. Our forefathers laid down their lives for this. Folks, if you just studied about our forefathers, what they did, each life, it is amazing, amazing what they did. So, greater love. Do we have any greater love than that? Just to lay down my life for whatever is in my path? That's not much to ask. That's not much to ask. This country was redeemed by blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean real blood.
And it has to be?
Yes.
The blood has to flow for redemption.
The blood sacrifice is so beautiful, so beautiful. And I hear people saying, forget the blood. And I'm going, what? Give me a living break. The blood is what gets you there. It is not ego. It has nothing to do with ego. It has to do with the essence of that divine power, which is the Christ that lives, breathes, and walks in us.
It's love.
Not this man 2,000 years ago with long hair and a robe, but us, that he's breathed life into these cells that we are. God, how awesome.
Well, scripture says the life is in the blood.
Yes.
Honey, on the palm tree in the cedars of Lebanon, my thought on that is that having come from California, of course, you all have seen movies of the desert and whatever. Palm tree is not necessarily a beautiful tree. Its attribute is that it can withstand powerful winds that most trees will not survive through. Even if it has two or three little branches, it still sways and it remains through the biggest storms, unlike some of the trees that snap. And the cedar of Lebanon is not a necessarily lovely tree. but it withstands the elements. It can survive things that others do not. And that is a quality that God's life in us gives to us. We may have scars, we may have limbs missing, you know, as we come through the rages of this life, but we're still standing, we're still breathing. We may be rocking with the wind, but we're rocking.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah.
Absolutely. I knew there was some gold in you, girl. Just have to get her to speak it. It's beautiful stuff.
And then heals.
Absolutely. Actually, Johnny and I were in California a couple of times, but I wanted to go to Hollywood because I've never been there. And he took us down a boulevard, and their palm trees are really big. They're even bigger than those we saw in Florida. They grow really high, you know, so I'm a witness to that. In the Revelation 2, this proves something I've already said to us. He says in 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. I think I'm going to have to put Grayson's little daisy up. Keeps falling out of my Bible. Who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks? I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne, has patience for my nature's sake, my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because you have left your first love. What is your first love? Do you remember that first love? Of course. So he says, repent and go back to that. All right, Revelations 2 and 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Oh, I know, I was going to tell those dreams again. The first dream that I had, and I feel this, if a dream is really from the Father, it is indelibly imprinted upon your heart. If I ever forget these dreams, you better put me in an old folks home, because I'm done. This dream, I was in the Smokies, or going, walking up in a wooded area in the mountains. The beauty of this dream is when they made the last of the Mohegans, and they filmed it in North Carolina, Smoky Mountains. In one of the scenes, it looked exactly like the scene in my dream. Anyway, I started up a mountain, and a bear came, and he raised up like this in front of me. Well, you know who the bear is, don't you? That's my nature over there, that looking at me. But as he rose up, a scroll appeared in my right hand, rolled up. A light piece of paper, but it was rolled up, and I knew it was a scroll. And I whacked him across the nose and hard, and he got down on all fours when I whacked him. And I got on his back and grabbed a hold of the back of his neck and kept the scroll right here. I rode him to the top of the mountain, and every time he'd rear up, you know, he'd rear up all along my ride, I'd take that scroll and I'd wrap him across the nose. When I got to the top of the mountain, he disappeared. And I got down on my face and I crawled into the light. That's repentance. And God did that in me. And I love it. I want some more of it. It's wonderful. It will get you there. He wrought a breaking in my life and in my heart so that I could see myself, my own beast, there. And then, when I got into the light, he gave me another part of the dream. At that time, I had gone into the Church of God, and I knew that God had sent me there for a time. That's where Johnny and I and Morgan went for 3 years, maybe. I'm not sure. I think it's about 3 years. Anyway, in the dream, my mother, this is significant, I watched her pay her money, which was dimes. That's redemptive money. It's silver. She put her silver in to watch a movie. And these two people would not let her watch the movie. And they were blonde and blue-eyed. So I knew they were Israel. So I took this hand and made a fist. And there was two of them. And I hit them. And their jaws shattered. They went to powder. And Brother Cooley told me, he said, "You're going to change some people's eating habits." Do you know who that was? That was Speed Francis. They came out of there. And their eating habits changed. God did that in that church. In the next dream I had was many years later, probably 20. We were here. Let's see how the dream was. We were in a motel, and it was like I was an observer. And my mother, again, was in the dream. She was a big woman in the dream, much bigger than she was in the natural. I mean, just huge. Beautiful, not, I don't mean heavy. She was just big to me. And she had on purple. And anyway, she had paid her dimes. Remember the first dream? She paid her dimes to see a movie. In this dream, she paid her dimes for a bed, for a place to rest. They would not let her lay down anywhere. And I got mad. So I went to her in the dream, and she winked at me. And she took my left hand. So that's got to be my words. She took me by my left hand. She said, "Come on, we're going to go over here." So she took me to a really high place, like a precipice, and I was going, you know, afraid. She said, "We're going to take a leap." And even in the dream, I knew that meant a leap of faith for me. And at that time, we were under a brother that was precious and led us that far. But God was about to make a change in our lives. So my thought was, "Mama, we'll die. If we jump off of this thing, we'll die. There is no way." But when we jumped, we floated really slow. And when we got to the grass, it was blue. Do you hear me? That's heavenly. And we had hinds feet, both of us. A few weeks after that, Gary Sigler and Rokas, at least those two, came into our lives. Did we take a leap? You better believe we took a leap. So yes, dreams are good. They're important. I said I wasn't going to talk for an hour. Lying in the mud, pants on fire. That's all I said. remember a few weeks ago we talked about Noah, and I'm doing this because of the backing up thing, and because I think we as a group are really going to embrace some words this year, one of them being garments. We're going to look at the garments, the coverings. We're going to look at the word soul, mind, and heart. We're going to have a better understanding of that divine feminine before this thing is finished. Genesis 23. That can't be right. This can't be. Not if it's about Noah. I'm in the wrong book. It's Genesis 9. Remember, all Noah's done, he's planted, he's had a, built an ark, first, second, and third stories, just like us, body, soul, spirit. He's been through a flood. Have we been through floods? Oh, more than one, I think. More than one. And then he decides it's time to take a break. Scripture says, and he drank, he built a vineyard. First thing he did was build a vineyard. It's, I'm going to have a Sabbath, a rest. So he drank of the vine and became drunk. Well, when we're drunk, you're unbalanced a little bit. Did you know that? If you had a little too much to drink, you do things a little different. You're not quite balanced anymore. But Father is aware that we can drink too much wine. We can do that in spiritual things even. We can drink of the wine of knowledge and it'll kill you. The intellect, it'll kill you. Emotions, all of them will kill you. If you stay, drink of just that, there has to be an overall picture constantly. It's okay to drink of it. Just don't go down with it, blub, blub, and let it be your anchor. And he was uncovered in his tent. Father, it's important for us to be a covering for one another. That was so beautifully true when we had a friend come to visit and hadn't seen Rokas in a long time. And he greeted her, forgot himself, and greeted her in a way that wasn't appropriate to greet a woman. You changed your hair and you gained some weight. Okay. My husband, knowing how he felt, took off to the back of the house because he was going, oh God. But then he said to Rokas a beautiful thing, and I was so proud of him. He said, I could have helped you, and said, this is Margaret. And Rokas said, that was one of the kindest things any man had ever said to me. He said, I could feel Johnny's kindness in wanting to help me cover myself. So, we get to be the covering, and we get to be uncovered sometime. Will you cover me? I'll cover you. We'll be a covering for each other. It's not hard. It's easy. It says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, says, oh, you're naked. I see your nakedness. You're never going to do any better. You are a loser. You ever heard that from anybody? Here y'all are off over there in Oak Ridge listening to that crazy woman doing crazy things. The scripture says, and he goes and tells his brothers too. I mean, you got to tell everybody how bad the nakedness is. Shem and Japheth took the garment and laid it on their shoulders and went backward. They didn't look. They could have looked. They knew he was naked. They knew he had missed the mark. But they loved him so much and respected him as a father that they were not going to do anything to uncover his nakedness, but rather to cover him. So they go backwards. And what do they cover him with? A garment of love and righteousness. It's not hard. We can do that. We need to be so careful of our conversations, all of us. Let your love cover. Ruth wrote that beautiful, beautiful song when she was 5 years old. Having been through a hell of her own, she wrote that song. I don't know if I told you that story, but you know how God works. Little things happen in your life. Francis and I and the girls and Pam drove to Arkansas. I'm talking back into the woods of Arkansas to the Echols Tabernacle. Took our kids. And Sister Echols had a huge meeting. Lord have mercy. There was rooms on this side for the women and rooms on that side, I guess, for the men. Or the, I don't know where the men were. I never saw any except in meeting. Anyway, little bitty rickety beds. Frances took one look. She said, "We won't sleep a wink." I said, "I know." And they had stacked beds, and Rachel slept with her little arm hanging down here all the night, and me holding on to her because she was scared. I mean, it's Arkansas woods, and there's nothing out there but raccoons and possums and whatever else. But anyway, they sang a song. Can you remember the name of that? Ruth wrote.
The one. First one?
Uh-huh. The Potter's Wheel. Thank you, honey. We have that and we sing it sometimes, but they sang Potter's Wheel. And Francis, I think, fell in love with it and wrote the words down. And Sister Echols told the story of the little girl that wrote it. She was 5 years old and had been through a horrible, abusive thing and wrote that song. Okay, that was, I don't know what year that was. Our girls were like 8, 9, 10. And maybe 7, 8 years later, a woman contacted me on the internet, said her name was Ruth, and had heard that we had meetings, and she lived and had moved to Middle Tennessee, and could they come? Well, this another strange thing happened at the same time. Johnny and I, one Friday night, went to a ball game, got home, got a call from Francis. She said, Rokas and Carolyn are here. They were supposed to come the next weekend. I said, they are. Well, we didn't know them real well then. So they stayed with her that night, and I had them on over here that weekend, and Roka said, to make it right, I will come back next weekend. Of course, I never realized how far he drove or anything, you know, because I didn't really know him. And Carolyn said, I can't. But he can. So the next weekend, Rokas came back and brought one of the friends, Gary. Gary came to help him. So he was here again. And at the same time, Ruth wanted to come that weekend. You know how God orders stuff. It was just meant. Anyway, I came down early because I heard them come in, and I knew that they were coming. I didn't want them to feel alone or ungreeted. So I came down here, and we got to talking. And she said, I don't know how the song came up. Maybe Rokas brought it up. Rokas was down here with me. And we just were chatting before meeting, you know, and getting familiar with each other. And I know how it came up, because she knew Sister Eccles too. So we were talking about Sister Eccles, and I told her about that song. And she said, I wrote that song. Blew me away, broke my heart, because she didn't know I knew her story of what had happened to her. Her to write that song. And Rokas was here. Wow. It's amazing. I've gotten way off. I don't even know where I was. I think I'll just close, because I have some more things to go through, and it would take a while. And it's not necessary. I feel like we've made our point. If you have something to add or take away, this is a good time. Okay. Get someone to pray over the food and do a close.
Father, we just thank you for the bountiful feast we've already enjoyed, Lord.